The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
So sustainability, it's been something that's brought up very often. It's been in the global spotlight for quite some time. If you look at the landmark 2015 Paris Agreement for Climate Change, close to 200 countries have signed it. Now, this commits to a long-term goal of ensuring the rise in global average temperatures is less than 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. The investment aspect has also been getting a lot of attention, with more investors talking about ESG or environmental sustainability and governance. To tell us more, in the studio is my guest this morning, Harry Cho, Head of Sustainable Finance, Asia Pacific ING. Harry, good morning. Thanks for taking the time.
Good morning, Ilya. Thanks for having me as well at Money FM.
So sustainability, it's a pressing issue. It's a trendy topic as well. What makes you so passionate about this area of work? This is something a lot of millennials also like to get involved in. Tell us more.
Yes, so you're right. Sustainability is certainly sexy today,
yeah.
But there is a lot more rigor to it as well. My own personal story was whilst I was in investment banking in the rising ranks of the working deep hours in M&A, there came a point where I really wanted to have purpose to what I do. And that led to a personal journey, a sabbatical where I went and explored depths of nature, including the rainforests in the Amazon or the arid deserts in Peru. Wow. And through those experiences, I came to a realization that there is something much bigger at hand in which I can also play a role. And that's when I came back with a focus on sustainability with my deep background in finance.
Now, if we were to define, or if you could define sustainable finance, what would it be? Because to me, a layman, sustainable finance is just making sure I've got enough salary to sustain myself.
That's one way of looking at sustainability, of course, because that touches upon the social side. So
Okay. First
of all, the definition of sustainability, a lot of people think that only touches upon the environment, but there are, as you had mentioned, environmental, social and governance aspects to it. So the way we define sustainable finance, as well as the world at large, is funding that is going to contribute towards positive transition and contributes towards environmental, social and governance positivity.
You talk about the speed with which this has been picked up. Like you mentioned, it is a sexy topic. It is a trendy topic now. How much progress has been made, say, over the past couple of years? Because in my opinion, you talk about sustainability, it's almost on par with being a mainstream topic, yet not quite. How far away are we from it becoming a day-to-day need?
As you had mentioned, the Paris Agreement, as well as the Sustainable Development Goals, which were set within 2 months of each other, it really was a watershed moment for this.
Yeah.
You can't even call it a sector. It's one of the mega themes of the world today. However, if you actually look at the underlying figures, it's been, 2015 December? So
about 3 years-ish.
Three plus years since Paris Agreement. Do you know how many countries have actually put changes in their legislation in order to affect Paris Agreement? It's 16 countries.
Out of the 200 that sort of signed on to it.
That's correct, yes.
It's a bit slow.
Yes, so of course there are other countries that have decided to make changes without making legislative changes.
Okay.
But at least if we were to look at the legislative angle, the 16 does include some of the Asian countries such as Singapore, Malaysia, Japan, Indonesia, which is a positive change. But those numbers alone show there is some way to go.
Harry, why so slow? I mean, if 200 people agree to sign on it, what is the main stumbling block in more people putting it into legislation?
So firstly, a change like this does not require just the government.
Okay.
It requires the private sector, it requires the real economy companies, it requires the financiers, it requires a change in mindset of the society at large.
Okay.
Now, that has been somewhat slower than incoming because people think that these issues are someone else's problem. But I can tell you that the warnings that we get today, that if we don't abide by well below 2 degree scenario, that there's going to be heat waves or increasing sea levels that's actually going to put a vast part of Southeast Asia underwater. These are real issues that's not somebody else's.
It's very scary when you see these pictures or these clips of full land in big countries full of nothing but plastic waste or even that island of plastic in the sea. A friend of mine who's recently taken up art, he drew a picture of a shark with its mouth open and inside the mouth was all nothing but rubbish. It's just scary. Harry Cho, head of Sustainable Finance Asia Pacific ING, in the studio with me. We're talking about sustainable finance. Is there enough support, Harry, for corporates and the financial sector to promote sustainability as part of their agenda? Is there enough of a draw?
Some of the governments are providing support, such as providing grants or, in the case of China, for green bonds. Some faster approval processes, for example, for green bonds rather than plain vanilla bonds.
Okay.
But a big portion of how do we drive a company to change their sustainability strategy is, as you said up front, what are the investors thinking? Now, the pension funds of our world, the asset owners, as well as institutional investors have been playing a huge role in making this change.
Okay.
They're demanding change from companies to say, we have an obligation to society and it's increasingly becoming regulation for us to disclose what we're doing with our money and the impact of our money on climate change and vice versa. So they are requiring information from companies who they put their money into to tell them, what are you doing?
Okay.
You know, there is a statistic that came out recently to say every two weeks, a financier, an investor or an insurer is putting a coal policy in place. So what does that mean for the future? It means that there's likely to be increasing restriction, both from insurance and liquidity perspective from financing towards certain assets.
So it makes it a lot harder moving forward. If we were to dive deeper and talk about the green loans aspect, how does this affect the take-up and issuance?
I would say that especially in Asia, so far we have seen the biggest movement from the sustainability leaders.
Okay.
Having said that, we were saying sustainability is sexy, but with this exemplary borrowings that's already happened in this region, there are more and more companies who are feeling inspired as well as pressure from certain stakeholders to look at this more. So for us alone, I think we have enabled more than $9 billion US dollars worth of sustainable finance in the last 2 years or so. And we're seeing more and more financiers wanting to give more green loan. So I'll give you an example. When we look at companies now, there is a distinct divide in how the senior management who approve these loans look at a green funding versus a non-green funding. There is a lot more appetite and therefore increasingly so you'll see more liquidity towards assets and deals that are seen to be green or sustainable.
Oh, that's great. That's good news. Harry Cho, head of Sustainable Finance, Asia Pacific ING, in the studio with me. But, you know, with all of these loans and whatnot and moving towards sustainability, there is naturally that opportunity for innovation. What kind of innovation are you seeing in terms of creating green financial products?
So the reality is that the world is facing a huge dilemma in transition. So for energy-related CO2 emission saving, it needs to be 70% less by 2060. What we're seeing is there's increasing focus on the so-called transition products. So something called sustainability-linked loan that also have recently had a standard setting from the Loan Market Association as well as the Asia-Pacific Loan Market Association, which pegs the price of the loan to the performance of preset sustainability targets. And this is a way for financiers like ourselves to play a role in incentivizing companies to make and meet ambitious targets with respect to all of the environmental social governance aspects.
Harry, I'm going to ask a very typical Singaporean question because we're so competitive that way. Talking about the countries in Asia where sustainable finance is concerned, which countries are leading? Where does Singapore rank in that?
I'd say it's a bit too early to have official ranks per se.
But who's leading the way?
It's funny that China, for example, has been known to be one of the big polluters in the world historically. At the same time, it's also true to say that within Asia, they have certainly been one of the leaders.
Sure.
In Japan, you see movements from, in particular, the asset owners. So the GPIF, the world's largest pension fund, has been setting KPIs to enable further funding to flow towards ESG-screened assets. Mm-hmm. Singapore and Hong Kong, of course, from money perspective, has always been somewhat of competitors. That also holds for sustainable finance, where both jurisdictions are vying to be the green finance hub for Asia Pacific.
Yeah, well, that's the best that we can do. But I like that you brought up China because they have gone a long way. They've done a lot in terms of lowering their pollutants index with the cars and the restriction on car plate numbers at the different days, right? Well, thanks so much for coming by the studio. This morning, I've been speaking with Harry Cho, Head of Sustainable Finance, Asia Pacific ING.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.